Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 24, 2021. Justify the Creator. It is not so easy to justify the Creator because we constantly have complaints that arise from our being opposite to Him. The Creator is one, one and unique, and to the extent we make ourselves the same single whole, we will be able to feel, understand, and justify Him. But each time we proceed from separation because otherwise we would not be able to feel the concept of unity, since light can only be seen out of darkness. Only from the contrast of opposites is reality felt, both one pole and the other, both light and darkness. It is impossible to see darkness in the dark or light in the light, but only one against the other. Therefore, we can justify the Creator only on the condition that we unite. To the extent that in our connection we discover the concept of unity, we will be able to justify the Creator and the creation created by Him. After all, creation is what is outside of Him. Therefore, He created the whole world in the form of separation, distance, and shattering, the egoistic forces. And all this in order to give us the opportunity to connect all these opposites with bonds of love and to understand from them the essence of connection, which is the Creator. This is how we attain Him. The Creator is one, single, and only force apart from which there is nothing. And these concepts are understood only from the work on separation. Therefore, contrasts and opposites are becoming more and more apparent and sharpened in our world. Each person, as he develops, reveals in himself more and more opposite qualities, thoughts, and even disagreements with himself, and more so with others. It is difficult for him to understand others and connect with them. This development is designed to reveal how different our thoughts, desires, and actions are, so that over all these differences we unite and cover all our sins with love. By realizing the difference between the state of complete separation, opposition, conflict, and the state of connection, between these two broken and corrected systems, we will be able to understand, feel, and attain the essence of the Creator in mind and in sensations. This is revealed precisely from the combination of two opposite systems, and then we see the benefits in everything that the Creator has prepared for us. Therefore, you can justify the Creator only by combining opposites together and not cancelling anything. On the contrary, we are increasingly discovering differences and connecting over them with faith above reason. We thus add a common space, created at our request, where the opposites connect. And if we do not do this, if we do not ask the Creator to establish peace between us, a complete union, then we will not know what the Creator is, a level above the opposition. The opposition remains, it does not need to be destroyed and eliminated. Only in this way will we understand the meaning of creation and why the Creator created us, exactly like this, opposite to each other. Today, we reveal this oppositeness everywhere, all over the world, to the point that we are unable to get along with each other. We need to teach everyone how to reach the right connection and get closer to each other. Otherwise, the world will fall apart. This is the sign of our time, of the last generation. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, May 20, 2021, Justifying the Creator. Michael Leitman, on Quora. Can people really possess supernatural powers? Throughout history, several people have made claim to supernatural powers. These people divide into two groups. One tries to do something with these supernatural powers, and usually it doesn't go so well for them and even boomerangs negatively back to them. The other group knows that they have such supernatural powers and they do not use them because it is no good to use such powers despite possessing them. Nature gives certain people powers in order to progress humanity. What can we do with supernatural powers? Supernatural means that we see no relationship between cause and effect. The actual connection exists, only we don't see it. At least, for the time being. Can any person acquire supernatural powers, or is it a gift from above only for some people? There are certain people who are closer to supernatural powers and those that are further away. It's a matter of fate. What if someone walks in and asks, "Dr. Leightman, I want to develop supernatural powers, what do I have to do?" My answer is that you need to acquire sublime qualities. Your nature is egoistic, so you need to acquire qualities that are above the ego, qualities of love, giving, concern for others, and positive connection with others. What is so powerful about the force of love and giving? Simply put, when we attain it, we receive an interconnected and interdependent sensation of reality. Then we start identifying with the wholeness and perfection of the reality surrounding us. Instead of wanting to change reality to benefit ourselves, we think in an opposite way, how to change ourselves to adapt to the wholeness and perfection of reality. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leightman. The intention, configuration of the heart. Working on the intention is at the heart of all our study, all our efforts, and all our actions. The intention is the tuning of the heart, directing the desire toward the Creator. The Creator is the only force operating in all of reality. But He created us, the creatures, disconnected from Him so that we would be able to be drawn to Him, to aim ourselves toward Him. Therefore, the whole creation is outside the Creator, outside spirituality, outside the feeling of the upper force, in order to give us the opportunity to seek the Creator, to feel how He is missing in our lives. The Creator awakens in us the need to find Him. And if we realize it correctly, join to seek Him together and try to become like Him, we will yearn for Him day and night. I want to direct every thought and action to Him, to come closer to the Creator, to become like Him and give Him contentment. And in return, I will receive even more opportunities from Him to approach and connect to Him. Therefore, intention is not something that is remembered once a day, but something that determines every action in my life. If I want to come closer to the Creator, to reveal Him, to feel Him, to cling to Him, then I need to perform all the actions I do in life with that thought, no matter what I do. At every moment, at every step, I must attach the Creator as the sole source of all reality. And if I try to do this, I will certainly get help from Him and I will feel Him more and more. To the extent that I yearn for Him, I will feel that He yearns for me, as it is said, "I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine," in a reciprocal manner. It turns out that the intention is not some insignificant addition that can be forgotten, but an aspiration from the very depths of the heart with which I establish constant contact between me and the Creator. The Creator created us with egoistic desires but surrounded us with such external conditions that gradually correct our egoistic tendencies into the intention to bestow. Working together with our friends and helping each other, we begin to discover the precise and permanent attitude toward the upper force except for which there is nothing, and to see in it the source and purpose of all our intentions. Thus we reveal Him with all of our spiritual organs of sensation, meaning for the sake of bestowal, in mutual yearning for each other, and we enter the world of truth, the eternity. Everything depends only on our correct yearning. This work does not stop day after day, it needs constant renewal. Therefore, they helped everyone his friend by supporting and strengthening each other. After all, only together can we form the concept called the Creator between us, and correctly aim ourselves toward Him, that is, to the right place and in the right form. And this is only possible if we build this intention together from the very beginning. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, May 18, 2021, Work with Intention. The War of Gog and Magog, Part 8. Signs of the End of Days. Comment: the idea of the opposition of light and darkness is not new in Judaism. This is written directly in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were found in the 50s of the last century near the Dead Sea, in the Qumran Caves. My response: This idea was expressed by those who already at that time felt that they were living in this period. Question: the scrolls were written from the 3rd century BC to the 1st century AD, exactly at that time. Moreover, there are certain signs by which we can say that this war has already begun. For example, it is written that the war will take place in the last days before the arrival of the Messiah. This is the first condition. What are these last days and what does the arrival of the Messiah mean? Answer: the arrival of the Messiah means that power, knowledge, and illumination are coming into the world, that all nature are all in one single system and we must achieve absolute connection with each other, become similar to the Creator, and rise to His level. Thus, people will tune into this because they will encounter such problems that they will not be able to solve within the framework of their earthly life, either in their own power or in their minds. Comment: one of the conditions is also that all Jews must gather in the land of Israel. My response: I do not think that this must necessarily happen physically, but everyone will feel themselves more or less belonging to the land of Israel. Earth, Eretz, comes from the word Ratzon, desire. Israel, Yasharel, means straight to the Creator. That is, a consistent direction to revelation of the Creator, to connection with the Creator, will awaken in people, not in the field of religion, but in the field of internal communication, attainment. Comment: numerous original sources indicate that our entire development lasts 6,000 years. Today, there are just over 200 years left until the end of the correction. This, as it were, indicates that we are, as they say, in the last days. My response: in fact, earthly years play a rather indirect role here. But all the same, I do hope that even in our time we can live through such events that will bring us closer to the state when the whole world, all peoples of the world, all desires at all levels will feel that they are governed by one single desire from above. This is a desire for goodness, connection, and mutual love. And all creatures, inanimate, vegetative, animate, and, most importantly, human, will wish that only this single power reigns in them. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, April 30th, 2021. Chaotic development. Comment: in this world, we reckon that we know what we are doing. My response: it is because we do not develop. As we grow up, we become animals. Only in the period of development until adolescence, are we a little bit like people, and when we reach the age of 15, 16, or 20, it all ends. After that, we no longer take an example from those who are better than us. We do not explore this world, but begin to use it egoistically. Therefore, our spiritual ascent is based on exactly the same chaos as that of young children. Comment: humanity must understand this. People only think that they are moving somewhere, but it turns out that everything is chaos. My response: however, it is precisely when they are resisting this and want to include in the Procrustean bed of their concepts their supposedly reasonable theories of the entire dialectical development of nature and of themselves, that they fail. We see how the G8 and G20 summits and all sorts of so-called great minds are gathered. On a corporeal level, they may understand something. Yet, when we start developing toward the next level, they throw up their hands and leave just as they gathered, without any result. I hope that this will eventually make them listen to us. Then they will realize that there is a wisdom nearby that explains everything to them. Comment: it is written in Zohar, for all, Solomon said about them, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity, since in the Havilim, vanity, all the mohin of sight appeared to him. My response: it is from such development that a person understands that he is in an internally flared turmoil. Question: this corresponds with the words of King Solomon that everything is vanity. It turns out that vision appears and becomes distinct on the basis of this vanity, right? Answer: yes, it is not for nothing that King Solomon was a great sage. This is so because these seven halim clothe in the seven sephirot of the voice, and both of them are in the seven sephirot of the speech, which is the Nukva, who is called World. In her is the place of disclosure of these halim, which became the seven lights of vision, and in them is the world sustained. Zohar for all, Vayetzi, we are talking about the inner speech, the force of bestowal, of a person, which comes from his soul, fills and builds the world. All this comes from Nukva, from the most original internal desire. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar number 13. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what are the solutions for eliminating the constant feeling of loneliness? Loneliness is a major problem in today's world. Several countries have appointed ministers to handle it. There are several reasons for it, including the fact that it is mostly the lonely who commit suicide. However, no ministers or government decisions will help this problem. More and more people are finding meaninglessness in marriage, work, friendship and life in general, that there is no stimulus for moving, thinking, talking or doing anything at all. There is a certain stillness setting in the world more and more today. The reason for growing feelings of loneliness and meaninglessness in today's world is so that they will prod us to seek the meaning of life. However, rising above loneliness and meaninglessness with a quest to discover life's meaning is only possible if we succeed in awakening people to it. Otherwise, we can expect more and more people taking pills that will put them to sleep throughout their entire lives until they die. Logically, if we feel bad, then we would start seeking remedies for our negative feelings. But what can we do if we see no solutions? What do we live for? In the end, the only solution left will be to discover the meaning of life, since knowingly or unknowingly, it is ultimately what we all want. Eventually, loneliness will break through into a new phase of complete apathy toward everything, and it will be part of a natural process that leads us to the discovery of a whole new life. In some ways, it is a kind of death. By crossing this barrier, we discover that there is another much better life, and start living it. A person must suffer a kind of death, to realize, agree with, and want to give up the constant egoistic pursuit that ultimately bears no fruits, in order to start truly living. Once we agree with this transition, we then become ready for the next life. My advice to the lonely, all who feel alienated from the world, is to go to and read the material that was made for answering the question about the meaning of life. Follow the links in my Quora bio. There is nothing else that I could recommend. From the bottom of my heart, there is nothing else I see that I could offer. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. No need for despair. Question, there is a Latin proverb, if the wind will not serve, take to the oars. What does this mean for you? Answer, if we cannot use that power of the Creator that is constantly with us, and pulls and pushes us, forward both from the front and from behind, then we will have to act on our own. There is a time when we can go forward by ourselves. There is a time when the Creator leads us, forward. And so, we can get there one way or another. All the same, we have the method, and we should not worry about times when we replace one mode with another. This should be done alternately. Question, and for an ordinary person, what is, if the wind will not serve, take to the oars? What does it mean? Answer, do your best. All the time. Do not expect fair winds. At the beginning, of course, a person is not treated that way in order not to be cast out. Question, is there such a relation that if you take up the oars and really work the wind will blow? Answer, you start to see that it blows. It was always blowing, but not on the same level, not on the channel on which you are used to working. You go up to the next level, and there you see that the wind is blowing. Question, that is, in principle, it means that the Creator is always with us? Answer, always. There is no doubt about it. Question: and you begin to see this when you invest yourself? Answer: yes. Question: what is invested? Is it my despair that I no longer have the strength to sit by the oars? Answer: no, on the contrary, there is no need for despair. I know for sure that I follow his method, only in greater or lesser agreement with him. I cannot hide from him. I would like to walk with my eyes closed as if everything was open and clear in front of me. Comment: this last formula is a little difficult to understand. My response: it is heavy. But really gratifying. When you leave everything, nothing else matters, and the main thing is to go straight to the Creator with your eyes closed. Question: is this state called do what you want with me? Answer: of course. Question: and can it be advised to people who are in constant fears and anxiety, especially today? Answer: they will take it as some kind of religious advice. But if we try to teach them a little, they will be able to search for the Creator with their eyes closed. They will close their eyes themselves. Because everything else they see with their eyes open will interfere with them. There is no Creator in our world in this form. And if you close your eyes to everything and understand that there is only the Creator around you, then here you can find him. Imagine, you close your eyes and find that instead of everything that you stumble upon, there is one force. And that's all. So simple. Comment: no fear, nothing. You guide me and everything else, and I follow you. If only it were possible to live like this. Answer: we must try. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leightman, April 8, 2021. Let's talk about first love. Comment: let's talk about first love. You know, the first feeling is that you froze, something happened to you. Something skipped a beat, and you are ready to give everything and all your life, just not to break away. Just for her. This object is everything. I remember the girl Tanya. I remember my first feeling when I looked at her like that. I wanted her to pay attention to me. And all the time I was looking for a place to be closer to her. All the time, just for her to pay attention. She didn't. My response: this is natural. It's the same for everyone. Comment: this feeling is given to us. It is unforgettable. Not in 20 years, 40 years, or even in 80 years does a person not forget it. Answer: no, until the end. Question: do you remember your first love? Answer: I also met her here in Israel when I was about 60 and she was the same age. She became very ill and died. Her husband called me and told me that Luda had died. Question: was it your unanswered love? In childhood? Answer: yes. Question: why is the first love not realized? Why? Such a feeling. Answer: so that you can always dream about it. About the very feeling of love, about this feeling. And if you were to connect, you would ruin that feeling. In this way, the Creator places it among people, and it is in this spiritual form that you strive for, but it is unattainable. Question: so it's like the Creator says, remember this all the time? Answer: yes. It's sitting somewhere in you. Question: that is, this feeling when you are ready to give everything, you forget yourself, you dissolve in the other? Answer: yes. Question: is this what gets into a person's heart? Like a splinter. And is it the all the time? Answer: yes. And everyone has it. Question: whom do I love? I love her at this moment of the first love? Answer: no, you don't even see her as a matter of fact. You are looking at her not with the right eyes. You were just shown that there is some spark in her that attracts you, and that's all. And you want to see that spark all the time. Question: is it in order for me to always look for that kind of love? Answer: you don't even have to look for it, you are just tied to it. Question: so this is all happening for me to know that such love exists? Answer: yes. so that you know what striving means. Question: and so you would strive for this? Answer: yes. But, as a rule, no one gets married to their first love. Question: is there an upper force behind this, the Creator? Answer: of course, this all goes according to the upper program. This is very well thought through, we are brought up in this way. Question: can we say that this means that the next sentence will be, the Creator is love, God is love? Is that what he wants to tell us? Answer: it's at the end. This is after you have lived one and maybe more than one life, and have accumulated a few more such impressions from your first loves. Then you will feel what it really is, true love. Question: will I then feel that I did not relate to her, but it was all to the Creator? Answer: no, of course, not to her. You haven't even seen her. There was a spark placed in her for you, for which you were striving all the time. Otherwise, there is nothing. Therefore, it is very, very rare that people meet for the first time, at school or somewhere else, fall in love, get married, have children, create a family, and live the rest of their lives together. I've seen a few cases like this, but I've always been very interested in looking at them. As a rule, they have many children. Interesting. And they somehow understand each other very, very clearly. Comment: these are happy couples. My response: yes. This is very rare. The first love is given, so that we realize that we need to seek eternal, upper, true love. Not a person to a person, and not a person to a party, and not a person to the motherland. Only to the Creator. Through other people, love for the Creator. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, April 1, 2021. The double effect of the Book of Zohar. The Book of Zohar has a double effect. First, if we want to develop and read it patiently, systematically, under certain conditions, with the intention of developing, then through it, through studying it, a special developing force descends upon us. Second, to the extent of our development, each time we will feel and understand more of what is written in the book at the level that we reach. The book itself covers all spiritual layers to the very end. You can read it as long as it takes for you to reach your full spiritual elevation. Question: do we need it after that? Answer: after that, you will already know everything. You will understand everything, you can do everything. It means that you can read the Book of Zohar for 100 years without any advancement, without receiving anything. Or, you can read it in such a way that within 5 to 10 years it will elevate you to its final degree. From CAB TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar, number 14. Can a thought develop a desire? Question: can our thoughts develop our desire, and if so, how? Answer: thought influences desire and desire influences thought. We see that through our daily struggles. If I have a very small desire for something, but I begin to think about it more and more and thus constantly develop and nurture these thoughts, as a result, my desires grow many times more. And vice versa, the desire can influence our thoughts. And if the desire changes, a certain thought can disappear. Our desires are the main thing, whereas our thoughts were given to us, in order to increase the desire, to focus, format, and fulfill them. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 3, 2019.